Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Eric coming to you again here for our worship service at Petaluma United Methodist Church. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, a special welcome to you. We're glad that you found your way to our worship service that we're posting online, recorded service. And so blessings to you today. Everyone else who's our regulars, good to have you again with us. Today is the 26th of April, a couple of weeks after Easter. We're in our Easter season, and we remember today as we move forward that Christ is here, ready to be revealed. And so watch and wait for the new growth that is coming.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Stay with Christ, and Christ will stay with you. Listen for God, and God will speak. Seek the Spirit, and the Spirit will be revealed. For the Spirit is already here, inviting us to stay. Let us join together in our opening hymn, number 318, Christ is Alive. Please join me in the prayer of invocation. Eternal God, we are here, yearning to know you more fully. Stay with us as we worship this day. Reveal yourself in the words that are spoken, the songs that are sung, and the bread that is broken. Help us understand your truth and embrace your life-giving power, revealed within your enduring word. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Listen for the word that stands the test of time. Listen for the word that lives and moves among us. Listen for the word that God is speaking to us this day. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added.
Our second reading today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, reading from the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 13. Hear the lively word of God. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? And they stood looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? He asked them, What things? And they replied, The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back, and they told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over. And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is our story. Think about it. There they are, these two disciples, as exhausted as they are discouraged, as they trudge the 7 miles from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus. And we don't know why they had forsaken the company of their fellow disciples, only that they are now walking home. Perhaps it's all they could think to do. And then Jesus meets them on the way. He doesn't come to them in Jerusalem. He doesn't wait for them at home. He doesn't bid them make some holy pilgrimage or undertake some pious feat. Rather, he meets them where they are, on the road, amid their journey, right smack in the middle of all the pain, frustration, and despondency that threatens to overwhelm them, even though they don't recognize him. And now notice what takes place. First, he opens up the scriptures, to revealing, as it were, giving the deeper meaning, what's in the scriptures, helping them not simply to make sense of recent events in light of the scriptures, but also to make sense of all the scripture, and indeed, all of life in light of God's redemptive work. And then he shares a meal, lifting and blessing bread, breaking it and giving it to them. And amid these simple and symbolic actions, they recognize him. Through the interpretation of scripture and the sharing of the meal, that is, the eyes of these disciples are opened, and they recognize not just the person of Jesus, but the presence of the Lord, the God whose powerful word called light from darkness and gives life to the dead. And then he's gone. And they know that they need to be gone too. So they get up, they venture the dangerous evening road back to Jerusalem to tell of what they've seen. Why? Well, because they can't help it. News this good just can't keep. This is surely one of the most elegant accounts that Luke has left us. And it's unique to Luke. This is the only gospel account of this story. A beautiful and moving story. A story basically of a journey, and the stranger the disciples encounter who transforms that journey. Because it's so rich in layers of meaning, this morning I would like to retell Luke's story in two different versions, a child's fairy tale version and an adult's version. First, the child's fairy tale version goes like this. Once upon a time, some grandparents were in a little gift shop looking for something to give their granddaughter on her birthday. Suddenly, the grandmother sees a precious teacup. "Look at this lovely teacup, Harry, just the thing." And Granddad picks it up, looks at it, and says, "You're right. It's one of the nicest teacups I've ever seen. We must get it." At this point, the teacup startled the grandparents by saying, "Well, thank you for the compliment. But you know, I wasn't always so beautiful." The grandparents, rather still surprised, they said, "Well, what do you mean you weren't always so beautiful?" "It's true," said the teacup. "Once I was just an ugly, soggy lump of clay. But one day, a man with dirty and wet hands threw me on a wheel, started turning me around and around and around, and I got so dizzy I cried, 'Stop, stop!' But the man with the wet hands said, 'Not yet.' And then he started to poke me and punch me until I hurled all over. 'Stop, stop,' I cried. But he said, 'Not yet.' Finally, he did stop. But then he did something worse. He put me in a furnace. I got hotter and hotter until I couldn't stand it any longer. And I cried, 'Stop, stop.' But the man said, 'Not yet.' And finally, when I thought I was going to get burned up, the man took me out of the furnace. And then some short lady began to paint me. And the fumes were so bad, they made me sick to my stomach. And I cried, 'Stop, stop.' But the lady said, 'Not yet.' Finally, she did stop and gave me back to the man, gave me back to the man again, and he put me back in that awful furnace. I cried out, "Stop, stop," but he only said, "Not yet." Finally, he took me out and let me cool. And when I was cool, a very pretty lady put me on a shelf right next to a mirror. And when I looked in the mirror, I was amazed. I couldn't believe what I saw. I was no longer ugly, soggy, and dirty. I was beautiful and firm and clean, and I cried for joy. Did not the Messiah first have to suffer and so enter into his glory? Asked the stranger on the road to Emmaus. Did not the teacup first have to suffer and so enter its glory? And so it seems that Luke's story, after all, is the same as the child's story of the teacup. The versions differ, the meaning is the same. And the meaning is the same for us. We go through life's journey, taking some punches, taking the heat, as we say. Our losses and hurts are shaping us, and we cry out, "Stop, stop." Not yet is often the answer, and we ponder why. The story provides an answer. We are being molded into saints, and furthermore, we are reminded we're not alone on the journey. Our companions are there, and the stranger is there, though unrecognized, perhaps. At times, though, we do get a glimpse of that presence. The adult version of the Emmaus story concerns a young medical student who had to be away from his fiancée for a month to take his comprehensive exams in his last year of college. Now, this was an agony for him to be separated. He was sad and he was depressed. He was on a bus traveling from Monterey, California to his school in Denver, Colorado, and the bus stopped at some Greyhound station. It was a rather dreary place. He sat down on a unraveling old revolving seat at a dirty counter, and the counter was U-shaped, you know, those U-shaped counters that they've had at cafeterias. And so he found himself sitting then across from an old woman. She saw him and said, "Honey, you sure do look depressed." And he said, "I am." And before he knew it, he was crying. The woman reached across the counter to pat his cheek with a dirt under the fingernail hand, and he pulled back when he saw it, and she simply asked, "What's wrong, honey?" And he told her about his fiancée and how much he loved her and how much he missed her. He showed the woman her picture. The woman said, "Oh, I've never seen such a beautiful young woman." And then she began to tell him that she had been married to a traveling salesman who had since passed away, and she related how they used to weep, both of them, each time he had to go away, but how happy they were when he returned. She said, "Marriage is wonderful. You're going to have a wonderful marriage. Everything is going to be fine." And then she suggested he might feel better if he had something to eat. So she ordered a donut from under the scratchy plastic cover. And the woman took the donut, broke it, and gave it to him. And as she did, an announcement came over the loudspeaker, and she said, "Oh my goodness, my bus is here." And she disappeared. Only then were his eyes opened, and he recognized Jesus in the breaking of the donut. The Emmaus story lives on that level, too. Wherever goodness is shared, tears dried, comfort given, charity done, the stranger, the risen Christ, is present. We are all on a journey. Our paths are uneven. Losses at times are heavy. Joy and laughter at times so sweet and profound we shed tears. As we walk on our Emmaus roads, may we dare to turn to those who are walking beside us, friend and stranger alike, and see the light of Christ that is in them. Amen. And so now we'll have our second hymn, "Open My Eyes That I May See." It's number 454 in the hymnals, if you have one, or you can click the link on our worship page if you'd like to sing along. Our organist, Marilyn, will also be playing 3 verses. This is a time in our service where we have traditionally lifted up different prayers that people have, sharing the concerns, the joys and concerns that each of us brings forth to our gathered community. So I encourage you at this time that if you have special prayers, to make those now, quietly or out loud, as is your preference. Let us be in prayer. In lives where love has been born this day, thanks be to you, O God. In families where forgiveness has been strong, thanks be to you. In nations where wrongs have been addressed, where tenderness has been cherished, and where visions for earth's oneness have been served, thanks be to you. May those who are weary find rest. May those who carry great burdens for their people find strength. May the midwives of new beginnings in our world find hope, and may the least among us find greatness, strength in our souls, worth in our words, love in our living. Amen.
Please join me in the invitation to our offering. The author, Henri Nouwen, once said, "Every time I take a step in the direction of generosity, I know I am moving from fear to love." Dear friends, since the COVID-19 shelter-in-place took effect, giving to the church has declined by approximately 50%. That, we know, does not reflect your faith, your generous heart, or your feelings for Petaluma United Methodist Church. Please do whatever you need to do in order to continue giving at the same level you were previously. You can do this by mailing a check to the church, dropping your check in the mail slot of the church office, or by arranging with your bank to send money to the church. Even though we are not able to physically come to the church building for worship together on Sunday mornings, we are still in active ministry and have financial responsibilities. Many blessings to each and every one of you. Thank you for your generosity. And our closing hymn is number 2223, They'll Know We Are Christians.
So for our benediction today, I invite you to join in our responsive benediction. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Christ is with us. Christ is with us indeed. Go to share this good news with the world.